Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. My pleasure. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the aftermath of the Red Sox defeating, you know, their longtime rivals, the Yankees. And as we speak, they're playing against the Astros in the ALCS. And in the NL side, you got the Dodgers and the Brewers split the series at one. We're also going to talk about the aftermath with the Yankees, what they're going to do to rebound after the loss, and also another loss on the field with Didi Gregorius needing Tommy John surgery, and where that points, you know, with the Yankees offseason moves. We'll also talk about the Mets GM search, talk about the Knicks upcoming season starting on Wednesday against the Hawks, the Jets and the Giants, and of course, talk about the latest controversy surrounding the WWE. And, the upcoming SmackDown 1000 event coming up on Tuesday.
SmackDown 1000?
Yeah, it's coming up on this Tuesday.
Is it really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, of course, most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. Let your voice be heard. But with that said, let's just dive right into the Yankees, you know, loss and, you know, the Red Sox series right now with the Astros. And, the Yankees, they lost the first game. They won the second game on Saturday night at last week, exactly 1 week from today. And they bludgeoned the Red Sox in Fenway. And then the turning point of this series was after the game, you know, Aaron Judge, you know, he wanted to rub salt on the wound of the Red Sox by playing New York, New York on a boombox, like if it was 1989, you know, playing the New York, New York. And you know, obviously the Red Sox is a very talented team. And, you know, it looks like the Red Sox used that as bulletin board material. Obviously, obviously they didn't want to lose their series to begin with, but kind of rewoken the rivalry, the longstanding rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees, dating back as early as, the Red Sox trading Babe Ruth, you know, following after they won the 1918 World Series, which, of course, caused a huge drop for the Red Sox, and they didn't win until 2004, where they, you know, shockingly upset the Yankees, you know, overcoming a 3-0 deficit. And, of course, you know, they won in 04, 07, and then 2013. And Red Sox are trying to win their fourth in a little over a decade. Whereas during that drought of, you know, the Red Sox not winning since 1918 to 2004, the Yankees won 26 titles in that span. But now Yankees, you know, after another tough Yankee, postseason, after running roughshod on the league, you know, hitting more home runs, you know, than any Yankee team in history, if that's even possible. You know, unfortunately, the Yankees, you know, with the exception of 2009, you know, these Yankees, you know, for almost I mean, since 2001, with the, of course, the exception of 2009, you know, the Yankees, they've had a high, you know, high-powered home run slugging team, but in the postseason, they've been, you know, that, you know, good pitching beats good hitting. And unfortunately for the Yankees, you know, and their fans, you know, they weren't able to overcome that hump at home in game three and game four. And, you know, this, and with the exception, with the addition of D.D. Gregorius, you know, needing Tommy John surgery, this is definitely pointing to the Yankees going after Machado and maybe possibly trading Giancarlo Stanton, even though he has 9 years left on the contract. But enough about what I think. Let's go right to a diehard Yankee. What are you feeling?
I mean, you know, I'm disappointed that the Yankees, they didn't, you know. I mean, the Red Sox are a great team. You know, they had a great year, 108 games. You know, they destroyed pretty much all of the AL teams except for, you know, Yankees, Astros. But, you know, I'm disappointed that the Yankees didn't play better at home, you know, because, you know, going into this postseason, I think they were like, what, 7-0 at home in the postseason since last year. And they didn't lose a series to Cleveland in that ALDS last year, and they didn't lose a home game to Astros in that ALCS. And they won the – and also they won that wild-card game against Minnesota last year, and the wild-card game this year against Oakland. So that puts them about 7-0, you know, going into this postseason. So I thought for sure once the Yankees won that game in Fenway, that second game, I thought they would easily win game three and four, but then Severino, he doesn't pitch well, and then we come to find out that he may have been tipping his pitches, and Yankees get blown out 16-1 in game three, and then game four, we don't hit until the end, where Kimbrel for the Red Sox almost blows the game at the end there, and Yankees could have probably had a chance, but just disappointing that the Yankees didn't show a better effort at home and hit better, but, you know, all in all, for, you know, it was a good year. I mean, yeah, I know we before the season started, you know, we were picked to, most people were picking us to go to World Series. We didn't live up to that expectation, but I mean, for most organizations, having a 100-win season, making it to the ALDS is a great year. But for the Yankees, you know, it's subpar, you know, in some people's eyes. I look at it as a, you know, it's a stepping stone for this team. This team still has a lot of young players that, you know, they could build around. I mean, this D.D. Gregorius injury isn't going to help next year, but you know, hopefully they find a third baseman, not named Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, to replace D.D. in the meantime. But, you know, they still have a good young nucleus, and, you know, hopefully – they could continue to build around this young team and form a new dynasty potentially. But, you know, again, disappointing that they lost, especially the Red Sox, who I hate losing to. But, you know, I got to tip my hat to the Red Sox. You know, they're a great team. Unfortunately, not great tonight since they're losing to the Astros. But, you know, that's all I got to say about that.
And what's the score in the game right now?
Right now, the Astros are leading 3-2, bottom seven.
Thanks for the update. Keep us posted. What's going on with that game?
Definitely.
But I'm going to say something that might surprise you.
Huh?
I'm going to say something that might surprise you.
Oh, no. Don't jinx us again like you did on Saturday.
I'm not jinxing you, dude. I agree with everything that you said. I mean, you know, the Yankees, they had a good year. You know, obviously, they took a hit, you know, they regressed from last year. You know, they had a veteran manager in Girardi who was a former manager of the year with the Marlins a decade ago, I think in 06. And then, of course, you know, he won a World Series with them in 09. And, you know, he took the team to the one win away from the World Series. And then you got Aaron Boone, you know, a guy who, you know, obviously he's a former Yankee as well, but, you know, he didn't have the managerial experience up until this year. And, you know, in this series, it kind of showed. And, you know, Alex Cora, you know, who's also a rookie manager, all his moves look like it you know, came to pass. But another thing, what I really agree with you is that the Yankees don't need Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. I mean, they need a guy. They need, like, more contact hitters, you know, guys who hit in the clutch, not so much guys who, you know, who hit the long ball all the time. I mean, if you could get a guy who could, you know, hit for power but is a clutch hitter, I mean, hey, that's, you know, Cashman's going to do what Cashman does and live up to his name and, you know, get the best players available. But the Yankees are not in desperate need with Machado or Bryce Harper, even though they did have a disappointing finish to their season in the ALDS against the Red Sox.
I think we need pitching, you know. Forget about hitting, you know. This team could hit. You know, they showed they could hit, you know. I mean,
right.
They hit in those last two games of that ALDS series, but pitching wins games. And, you know, we need another pitcher or two, you know, to help this out. I mean, Severino, he's shown that he could be an ace, but at times, you know, he loses his command, or I don't know if it's something mental, you know, but he's still a young guy. I mean, he's a potential, you know, unstoppable ace. He could be an unstoppable ace in this league. Still a young guy, still learning, but we need to add more pitching depth, you know, because CC might not be back next year. They're probably going to get rid of, they're most likely going to get rid of Sonny Gray. Jay Happ, I'd love to bring him back, you know, and they might bring him back. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, if we could get a guy, who's that guy from Pittsburgh? I forget his name.
Garrett Cole?
No, not Garrett Cole. He's currently on the, I think the Yankees are trying to pursue him. I'm forgetting his name. I'll come back to that. But, you know, even like a guy like Kershaw. If they could get a guy like him, you know, most people say, you know, after like last night's loss, some people say he's losing it. If we could get a guy like that, that'd be great. But I think Yankees definitely need to improve their pitching.
And not to mention, I think Keuchel is a free agent too. So
yeah, that's another name I'm hearing. Yeah,
guy,
hey,
Yankees
who knows?
Can definitely go after him, for sure.
I definitely think they'll go after him, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, With the offense, I don't think Yankees need to do a big move. Pitching wise, that's another story. You know, they really need to improve that pitching. I mean, whether CC comes back or not, you know, he had his worst start in the postseason as a Yankee. I mean, hands down. I mean, this guy, CC, you know, he's been a warrior. I think he's gonna have surgery or he's nursing something too, as well, if my memory serves me well. He might have a knee problem. I think they announced
so.
after the you know, the Yankees series ended, you know, postseason ended. They announced that along with DD needing Tommy John surgery. Luckily for him, he's not a pitcher, so it shouldn't cost him a year to return.
Patrick,
you know,
Corbin, that's the guy, the Yankees, from Arizona.
Oh, yeah, Patrick Corbin. Right, I've heard of him. He'll be a lot more helpful to the Yankees than Baron Corbin with the WWE. But I digress. But, you know, we'll see what's going to happen with the Yankees, you know, because, I mean, they should definitely go after pitching, for sure, to improve this team.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
Good news, they're going to, Brian Cashman admitted that they're going to trade Sonny Gray, so Yankee fans don't have to worry about seeing him in the Yankee uniform anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this team is still stacked, you know, for next year, you know, or for many years. Just improve your pitching depth, and, you know, you're going to be competing for several years down the line. So, you know, it's taking building, you know, the building blocks, you know.
Another team that's, you know, that's in need of some help, a lot more help than the Yankees, is, of course, the New York Mets. And You know, they have a GM search. You know, the rumors are they're gonna sign Kim Ngock, the woman GM, or I think his name is Cham Boone. He's a GM with the Rays. Gary LaRocque, who used to work with the Mets, but he works with the Cardinals organization, who Tony La Russa personally endorsed, you know, that the Mets should hire. I'm trying to think of the other names I saw. I'm trying to think. Mike Charnoff, he's a GM with the Cleveland Indians, among other names. So the rumor is that Fred Wilpon wants to go get an old school type manager, a GM, I should say, whereas Jeff wants to get a new school analytical guy. And I'm hoping, Mets can get a combination of the two. I think they should try to hire two people, so that they, one person, the president, president, of operations side, and then someone on the, as the official GM, and have a person who's a perfect mix of both sides of the coin. But if I had to choose one, I would choose a baseball guy, because analytics doesn't tell the whole story, So I definitely think Mets should go after, a combination of the two.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets desperately need to bring, someone who – I disagree with you. I think analytics is the new – it's the new age of baseball now. The analytics are proven to be like the new – I mean, it's a new concept of baseball. It's what managers and owners look at when they determine, predict how good a player will hit or how good a pitcher will pitch, their velocity, strike zone, how hard they hit, it's all about metrics now, and these days, that these metrics are proven to be accurate, so if you can get a guy in there that understands analytics and metrics, and that could bring in players, to meet those metrics, I think the Mets will have something, They need a baseball savvy analytic guy in there, kind of like what we had with Girardi until the Yankees let him go last year. But I don't know. There's not much out there right now. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's why I think they should have a combination of the two instead of, just one or the other, because analytics, they could obviously have a high probability of predicting what player's going to have a big year or player's not going to have a big year and all that stuff. But sometimes people have off years. And
true.
Sometimes when you make – look at the managers. Sometimes, if you go with a box, someone who's hitting 500 against a pitcher, if the manager has a gut, a hunch, like, okay, my pitcher is doing really well. He's really having command of his pitches. He could might go against the grain, and actually,
yeah,
go against the scouting report. So, I mean, I think, and not to mention, war and all those other stuff, launch angles and all that stuff. I don't think those stuff are really that important.
Yeah.
But obviously they should come to account when you're trying to acquire players and build a championship caliber team. I think it needs to be a perfect blend of both. Because like you said, need a baseball guy to see, okay, this guy can play in New York, this guy can't play in New York. Look at Sonny Gray. I mean, this guy, is a talented, young pitcher. But analytics couldn't tell that he couldn't pitch in New York.
Yeah.
But That's just the way it is. So you need a combination of the two so that, you know, another guy, you know, a guy who could, you know, see with his eyes.
Yeah.
Is this guy a future Hall of Famer? Does this guy, you know, mesh with my team? Is this guy a team player? You know, I think it needs to be a combination of the two in order for you to have a successful team.
Yeah, you know, hopefully the Mets can find the right person, you know. Right now, Mets are in dire need, you know. Mets need to do a 360 completely, you know. Do you think they should replace Callaway? I mean, it was his first year, but what do you think about replacing the manager?
Personally, I would replace him. I would replace him, but I don't think Mets are going to do that. They did say, Jeff Wilpon did say that whoever they hire is going to, he's going to have a say who's the manager and whether or not, you know, who they're going to spend their money on. But, you know, until they get a GM in place, which expected is going to happen by early this next month, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
And the Mets need to make a splash, man. This just like when they trade for Piazza, you know, and when they trade for Cespedes, they gotta make another splash. You know, this is another SOS moment for this team, because if they could have fielded a better team, you know, they could have went deep into this playoffs. You know, because they have the pitching. You know, with the exception of Vargas in the first half, who was pitching horribly. And then, you know, Matt Harvey had his woes in the beginning before he got traded. So, I mean, basically, if it wasn't for May and June, Mets would have been, you know, in the postseason hunt. But they had a horrible May and June, and that's what cost them.
Right.
Because the last couple of months, the last 2 months, they played over 500, but it was too little too late. And Vargas was actually pitching well as well. So, I mean, hey, why don't we just swap Vargas for Sonny Gray? I mean, even though Vargas he did pitch better in the second half. So,
yeah,
who knows? But yeah, we'll see what happens with the Mets. And shifting gears with the Knicks, they finally waived Noah, which I felt they should have held on to his contract and let him, you know, and then try to trade him when, you know, during his, you know, his walk year when he had 1 year left. But today they announced that they waived his contract and then they owe the rest of his, what, $37 million contract, you know, rest of his contract, and it's going to be split up for the next, I think, 3 or 4 years. I think so, 2022, I think, something like that. So
yeah.
I would have held on to him, you know, and see if he had something in the tank and try to trade him, or, you know, just not let him play with the team and then just trade him when he's a trading chip.
Right.
But they let him go. But more importantly, the Knicks, they're going to be starting their season on Wednesday against the Hawks. What record do you think this team will finish with? You think they'll be over 30, under 30, or right at 30?
Well, the Knicks, I mean, they played well in preseason, it looks like. You know, and, you know, they lost that last game to the Nets, unfortunately. They have young talent, you know. Frank Ntilikina, I want to see some progress from him. You know, hopefully he rises to that next level where he can start for us, you know, and show his potential like he did overseas. And they got the rookie, you know, I forget his name.
Kevin Knox.
Knox, yeah. I mean, I think he could be great, you know. And once Porzingis gets healthy, him and Porzingis could be a great duo in a league. So I think he has the potential. Hopefully they could win 30 to 35 games. Hopefully, you know. And I mean, that might be asking too much, but, you know, it's in the East right now. You don't have LeBron James in the East anymore. So, hey, you know, there's that opportunity where the Knicks could even possibly make the playoffs with a losing record. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is true. To me, I think they're going to win 30 to 35 games. If Porzingis was healthy, I would say they would win like 42 games or so if they had him. Be like about a 500 team, 41, 42 win team. But with Porzingis missing the game, missing, you know, the game, you know, we don't know when he's coming back. He's going to come back optimistically during around the All-Star break in February.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah, I think this team is going to, you know, have to play out over their heads to get to the 30, 35 wins. And I think they can, I think they have the temperament. I think they have young hungry guys who are former, you know, lottery picks. Unfortunately they've been busts. So hopefully they still have something to prove. They look hungry, and I think David Fizdale is the best coach to motivate them. I mean, he's going back to the past. You know, he's reached out to Patrick Ewing, Clyde Frazier, and he's trying to reestablish, you know, the Knicks, you know, DNA and their you know, the hard grittiness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I think they definitely have. I think that's a great sign.
Yeah, you know, I like some of the things that they've been doing in the preseason. You know, it looks like they're moving the ball well. You know, they're playing some defense. I like what Fitzgerald has instilled in the players so far. But yeah, you know, we're gonna have to see what happens when the regular season starts. You know, hopefully, you know, they surprise us. You know, I like that.
Yeah, hopefully they'll start. You know, Wednesday night against the Hawks. You know, at MSG, get that victory. Then they're gonna face the Nets, I believe, and then they're gonna face playoff-bound teams. So that's going to be the real test right there. So hopefully the Knicks can get to a 2-0 start before the next three games, the 3 to 5 games that they'll be facing this year. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the test right there. And speaking of a test, the Jets, you know, they finally bounced back. And you know they got the W finally. But tomorrow they're gonna have a huge test, you know, because they're gonna be facing Andrew Luck, and that's gonna be a tough task for them. But I think they're gonna pull away with the victory, you know, at home. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's Andrew Luck has been playing better, you know. They're missing T.Y. Hilton, their top wide receiver, but they have some young nucleus of guys stepping up in his absence. You know, I think the Jets could win this game. You know, defensively, the Colts are not that great, you know, and Jets showed some signs in the last game. That Crowell ran very well. The quarterback played, you know, better. You know, hopefully they can keep that up. And I like the fact that they got Anderson involved, even though he only had two catches, but, you know, one of them was a touchdown. So hopefully they could continue that moment, bring that momentum over to this next game.
Absolutely. And I think Luck, he hasn't been, I think he was recently injured. So he hasn't been making the deep passes lately. He hasn't been accurate with his deep passes so far. So hopefully the Jets could capitalize on that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting game. I mean, both teams, you know, still finding their way.
Absolutely. And then shifting gears with the Giants, you know, yeah, man, the Giants, you know, they haven't been playing good lately. And, you know, just a few days ago, you know, it looks like they had a nail in their coffin, even though it's, you know, still early, you know, losing to the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, you know, those guys are your longtime rivals. And it definitely, I'm sure, didn't leave a good taste in your mouth from that beating.
I definitely did not. I mean, there's so many things I could from that game, you know. But the good things that came out of it, you know, we now know Saquon Barkley. We definitely deserve the draft, no question. I mean, he's the best player in the draft. I mean, he's been averaging 100 scrimmage yards every game and, you know, put on a show, you know, during the game, looking like Barry Sanders, scored another touchdown. But, you know, other than that, it's the same old thing that we've been seeing since last year. Offensive line can't protect anyone. Eli Manning hasn't looked like Eli Manning. You know, he might have even lost a step. Now I'm hearing whispers, you know, they might replace him, or and when the season ends, you know, might have him step down, release him. You know, who knows what happens? But it definitely looks like Eli has lost, you know, a step. You know, just like his brother in the final years of Eli, Peyton Manning's career. But yeah, right now it's, you know, it's not looking good for the Giants. Now they're 1-5. I mean, playoffs. You could playoffs. Like, I mean, that's out of the question. You know, there's no playoffs right now for this team the way that they're playing. I mean, it's horrible. It's the same old story. And Odell Beckham, his antics, headbutting the fan.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Getting, you know, screaming on the sideline. You know, it's, I don't know. I don't know where this team is heading right now, but it's definitely not in a good direction.
Do you think it was a good move that they gave that extension?
Yeah, I mean, he deserves it. He's a talented player. He's one of the best wide receivers in the game, top 10, you know. But, yeah, sometimes, you know, he can be a prima donna. I know that. He can be a diva. But then again, can you blame him for the way this offense looks like? I mean, the way this team is playing?
Yeah.
Shit, if I was on this team, I would probably act the same way. I'd be cursing
like
at everyone.
It looks like he has Cespedes syndrome, Mike. You know, he's a talented player. Once he got the big money, you know, he's not on his best behavior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't
know
if this guy will disappear, if he's not happy or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I wish he would be a little more, you know, he's a passionate guy. He's definitely a passionate guy, but I wish he would tone it down a little bit. I mean, but, you know, some of the things you can't fault him for. You know, offensive line sucks. He's not getting the ball thrown to him a lot. I mean, Eli, at this point in his career, Eli can't throw deep passes anymore. You know, you pretty much have to dink and dunk with him. So, I don't know, man. This team is not, you know, something's going to have to change. I mean, if they keep losing this way, like they are right now, they're going to have another top draft pick, and then they might have to get a quarterback for the future.
I feel you.
Which would be helpful.
Yeah, and then some people might be criticizing them for not getting a quarterback this year's draft, where it's, you know, they was filled with a bunch of drafts, but then again, they got Saquon Barkley, so.
Yeah.
We'll see what Gettleman will do. I mean, he has the, you know, he's definitely the right man for the job to turn this team, you know, get them the right players.
Let's hope so.
So we'll see what happened with that. Going back to the MLB, who do you think will advance to the World Series? I'm thinking it's going to be Dodgers versus Astros again, but I'm hoping it's Brewers versus Astros. What's your thoughts?
You know, Brewers, you know, they're playing real well. I'm very impressed by their, you know, their pitching, timely hitting. I mean, of course, Dodgers are the favorites, and they're, you know, they have a bunch of all-stars on their team. You know, then I think, you know, talent-wise, you know, I'd say Dodgers. But I think Brewers are the better team. You know, so I think I'm going with the Brewers to go to the World Series and the Astros.
Cool. I hope you're right. Even though I don't have a interest in it, even though, I mean, I don't like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, I do like the Brooklyn Dodgers, but I don't like the LA Dodgers.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
you still hold a 30-year-old grudge.
Yep, exactly. Even though I wasn't a fan at the time, but you know, I'm bitter against teams who beat my teams in the playoffs. I admit it. But yeah, shifting gears to WWE, man. They're in a huge controversy right now, and unfortunately, it's really serious. You know, basically, you know, as we all know, or as you all know, WWE is going to host, is scheduled to host a Crown Jewel event very soon at Saudi Arabia. But right now, you know, there's a lot of controversy because there was a journalist who's went missing, and there are reports saying that he got massacred because he didn't get along with a leader from Saudi Arabia. And earlier this year, you know, WWE hosted the Greatest Royal Rumble event, and they're going to host the Crown Jewel event, and it's not looking good. So WWE has no choice. They have to reassess this deal because this is bad publicity. I mean, as you know, WWE, you know, they face backlash from, you know, doing the Greatest Royal Rumble. And, you know, a lot of people were offended because the women wrestlers weren't able to perform. So as a result of the backlash, WWE, you know, finally hosted an all-women's pay-per-view event that's coming up in a few weeks, Evolution, which, you know, the highlight of the matches was going to be Trish Stratus and Lita, longtime rivals, real-life best friends, teaming up to face Alexa Bliss and, you know, Trish and Lita's, you know, longtime rival, Mickie James, in a tag team match, along with other matches in that pay-per-view event. But my question to you, do you think WWE will cancel this pay-per-view event? Or is it, as Vince said many times, a long, long time ago, it's all about the money?
Wait, repeat that question again.
The question is, will WWE cancel the event, or will they, are they going to just go through it because they're going to get a lot of money from this?
Why would they cancel why would they cancel it though? I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, that's an opportunity to make money. I mean, WWE wants money, don't they?
Why, of course.
But now there's
a controversy about the person who they're in, you know, dealing with, the Saudi government, you know, is allegedly rumored to, you know, be responsible for the reporter being murdered, allegedly, because he's missing. And
man,
this guy was a huge critic.
Man, WWE, first of all, when they did that last event, they put on an event where they didn't even allow women to wrestle. That's first of all. That was a controversy in itself, you know.
Yep.
So if WWE didn't care about that, you know, the fact that, you know, the Saudi government doesn't permit, you know,
allegedly
women, you know, to wrestle or you know, show themselves in risque outfits. I mean, WWE's not gonna care about this, you know. I'm not buying it. I don't think they're gonna cancel the event, man. Especially these rich Arabs, the kind of money that they give the WWE. You know, the Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince, they have dollar signs in their eyes right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, the WWE is definitely going to go through with it because, unfortunately, they have a pass of the show must go on. I mean, they didn't stop the
show. Exactly.
Owen Hart literally died in the ring nearly 20 years ago. So, unfortunately, I think they're still. I think this is not going to deter them. So
it's not. It's not, man. They're not going to cancel nothing.
Yeah, but yeah. Shifting gears slightly, let me go over the pay-per-view event quickly. New Day retained the title. No surprise there. The tag team SmackDown title. Becky Lynch. Charlotte Flair won by disqualification, but as you all know, the title doesn't change hands, even though that was the specific thing. I think they ended in a count out, if my memory serves me right. So that's how Becky won it, even though if Becky would have, you know, been disqualified, she would have won. So WWE found a wonky way to go past that stipulation. Bobby Lashley and Cena defeat Elias and Kevin Owens. And, of course, memorably, Bobby Lashley turned heel along with his manager, Lio Rush, and attacked Kevin Owens which was an epic double heel turn that they had where Bobby Lashley just assaulted Kevin Owens after the match. And now Kevin Owens has a knee injury, and I think he's going to be gone for like 9 months. So that was the reason why Lashley turned heel.
Yeah.
Finally. Then you got the Iconics. They defeated Asuka and Naomi. And AJ Styles defeated Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe, he's hurt in real life. So he could be gone for a while as well. Then you got Ronda Rousey and the Bellas defeating the Riot Squad. And, of course, Bella Twins turned on Ronda Rousey. And now Nikki Bella is going to be feuding with Rousey at the Evolution event for the title. Buddy Murphy, he defeats Cedric Alexander for the WWE Cruiserweight title. As I suspect, the Shield defeated the Dogs of War, which is Braun Strowman, Dolph Ziggler, and Drew McIntyre. Not a surprise there. And Daniel Bryan defeated The Miz. I mean, you know, I predicted Daniel Bryan would win, but not in a 2-minute match, which surprised people and myself included. And yeah, that was a surprise. A lot of these WWE matches, especially the Goldberg Brock Lesnar matches, have been finishing quickly. And then last but not least, you got Triple H with Shawn Michaels at his corner, defeating Undertaker with Kane in his corner. And of course, they're never gonna face each other because that was the last time ever they'll face each other. And then what happened on Raw? Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement, 8-year retirement, to reform DX to face the Brothers of Destruction, meaning Triple H will battle yet again against Undertaker. What are your thoughts about this big move?
Man, well, first of all, you spoiled everything for me that happened on that pay-per-view. I still haven't seen it despite me saying that I would
see
it.
Oh, no! Why did you tell me? I mean,
no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding around. But it's okay. But I'm going to check it out, hopefully by tomorrow. But I heard it was an okay event, you know. I mean, it wasn't a big event in most wrestling fans because most wrestling fans didn't care. But I don't know. Just renewing some of these rivalries, I think is strange, and it's old, man. Like, why are we time traveling and renewing these rivalries? Like, come on, it's so old school. Like, get over it already. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only way I'd be happy that Shawn Michaels come back is if he's going to fight who he never fought before, you know, which I'm thinking about doing a YouTube video on that. And, yeah, I have some new stuff on the, you know, to check out. You have anything you want to say quickly?
Just